Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, we're continuing in our series, Prayers to the Creator, and today you are going to look at Psalm 102.
Yeah, Scott, a psalm that indicates in its introductory heading that it is a prayer, and we'll see several references to God's work as Creator in this prayer. However, this psalm is 28 verses long, but the psalmist doesn't refer to the Lord as Creator until verse 18.
Really?
Yeah, what the writer focuses on in the first few stanzas of Psalm 102 is his distress, and he pleads with the Lord to help him.
In fact, the introduction, which as you pointed out said the psalm was a prayer, even identifies the writer as one who is afflicted.
Yes, yeah, so let's read the introduction, Scott.
Psalm 102, a prayer of the afflicted when he is faint and pours out his complaint before the Lord. That certainly frames the subject of the prayer, but isn't that rather risky, or at least rash, to complain to the Lord?
Well, you bring up an interesting point. The Hebrew word translated complaint can have a few different meanings based on the context in which it's used. It also can have the idea of meditation or concern, but in the 14 times it occurs in the Old Testament, the New American Standard Bible translates it complain 8 of those times, and 5 of those 8 times occur in the same book. Do you have a guess as to which book that might be, Scott?
Well, going back to what the introduction says, a prayer of the afflicted when he is faint and pours out his complaint before the Lord, that description certainly fits Job.
Excellent. In fact, since the author is not revealed, one might even suppose this was a prayer of Job. However, Zion and Jerusalem are mentioned in the latter portion of the psalm, so we can be certain Job was not the author of Psalm 102. But as you pointed out, Scott, the introduction describes someone similar to Job. And we know, by the time Job was done speaking out to his friends and to the Lord about his afflictions, he had indeed gone too far in his complaining, and the Lord corrected him. Scott, read what Job says, for example, in Job chapter 10, verse 1.
I loathe my own life. I will give full vent to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul.
So there's that word you asked about, complaint. And the context clearly indicates that's an appropriate translation. And again, listen to Job 21, verse 4. As for me, is my complaint to man? The answer is no, it's to God. And why should I not be impatient? Look at me and be astonished. And so as we read Psalm 102, we'll see what the introduction describes as the afflicted's complaint fits the sentiments expressed. So now I've selected certain verses to read from the first 17 that lead up to the references to the Lord's creative work, because they reveal his complaint as well as set the stage for why the psalmist then calls upon his Creator. Now, we've read the introduction already, so Scott, continue starting with verse 1.
Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry for help come to Thee.
Verse 2. Do not hide Thy face from me in the day of my distress. Incline Thine ear to me. In the day when I call, answer me quickly.
Verse 3. For my days have been consumed in smoke, and my bones have been scorched like a hearth.
Verse 5. Because of the loudness of my groaning, my bones cling to my flesh.
Verses 6 and 7. I resemble a pelican of the wilderness. I have become like an owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I have become like a lonely bird on a housetop.
Verse 8. My enemies have reproached me all day long. Those who deride me have used my name as a curse.
Verse 10. Because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me away.
Verse 11. My days are like a lengthened shadow, and I wither away like grass.
Verse 12, but thou, O Lord, dost abide forever, and thy name to all generations.
Now I'll skip to verse 17. He has regarded the prayer of the destitute, and has not despised their prayer. So, as the psalmist pours out his complaint, as the introduction says, he lists a number of problems: distress, consumed in smoke, scorched, smitten, and withered away. He's groaning and weeping. And I'm struck with the vividness of the analogies he uses to describe his feelings of isolation. A pelican of the wilderness, an owl of the waste places, a lonely bird on a housetop.
Yes, I really found those to be powerful images of how lonely and abandoned he felt.
Mm-hmm.
And in his mind, it was because the Lord had lifted him up and cast him away.
So, all that said, we can hardly criticize the writer for complaining, even though that word has such a negative connotation. But something that I think is important to point out is we do have thoughts like these sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like we can hide them from the Lord. So here we have inspired scripture involving an afflicted person pouring out their hurt and, yes, complaints to God. As an example, even a guide for us as to how to relate to our Creator in times like what the psalmist is experiencing. God does not expect nor condone the suppression of those feelings as though he doesn't want to hear about them. He's not like an impatient spouse or a parent or friend who simply won't or doesn't understand. This psalm encourages us to be open with the Lord, as is the psalmist. Something I sometimes like to remind myself is, the Lord has big shoulders. Now, that doesn't mean we have the green light to just go off on a tirade against him.
Maybe like Job ended up doing?
I would say that's accurate. But what we can keep in mind is what we see the writer of Psalm 102 do as he prays. Did you notice in verse 12, after several complaints, he begins to recall the greatness of the Lord to whom he's crying out for help. But thou, O Lord, dost abide forever, and thy name to all generations.
You know, that's reminiscent of Moses' prayer in Psalm 90.
That's a good observation, Scott. Psalm 90, verse 1 says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And go ahead and read verse 2.
Before the mountains were born, or thou didst give birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
So, just as Moses reflected on the eternal nature of the Creator in Psalm 90, so does Psalm 102. And as the writer of Psalm 102 encourages himself with the reminder that the Lord does regard the prayer of the destitute, he goes on to prophesy about a future creation and then recall what the Lord created in the past. Let's read those portions of Psalm 102 now, Scott. Start by reading verse 17 again.
Okay. He has regarded the prayer of the destitute and has not despised their prayer.
This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord.
For he looked down from his holy height. From heaven the Lord gazed upon the earth.
To hear the groaning of the prisoner, to set free those who were doomed to death.
That men may tell of the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem.
So let's stop there a moment. The descriptions here are not just references to sufferings here on earth, but, for example, Isaiah uses the same terms to also describe eternal suffering and the salvation the Lord will bring to those enslaved by sin.
My mind went to what Jesus read about himself when they handed him the scroll of Isaiah to read in the synagogue.
Yes, what you're referring to is when Jesus read from Isaiah 61. Recorded in Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written,
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden.
To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord.
And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him.
And he began to say to them, Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, that is such a poignant moment. Imagine being there. And that favorable year Jesus proclaimed had come was also prophesied in Isaiah 42. And what the Lord says in Isaiah 42 is similar to the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 102. Remember verse 18 of the psalm. Read it again, Scott.
This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord.
Now that's a reference to the church, whose coming into existence required a new creation accomplished through the crosswork of Christ. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, says 2 Corinthians 5:17. So there in Psalm 102, it's revealed that God will create a new people, not like in the Garden of Eden, but through regeneration by His Spirit. And this new people will include individuals from every tribe, tongue, and people and nation. So the one who created the heavens and the earth will create again. Here's how it is described in Isaiah 42, which expresses thoughts similar to the latter portion of Psalm 102. Isaiah 42:5 says, "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it.
I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations."
To open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. So then, in like manner, after pouring out his complaint, the author of Psalm 102 pleads with the Lord to be released from his affliction, his imprisonment, knowing his Creator has the power to accomplish anything. So now, reading from verse 24 to the end of the psalm, the psalmist says, "I say, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations.
Of old thou didst found the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands.
Even they will perish, but thou dost endure, and all of them will wear out like a garment. Like clothing thou wilt change them, and they will be changed.
But thou art the same, and thy years will not come to an end.
The children of thy servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before thee." And that concludes the afflicted's complaint to the Lord. But how does his prayer end? With hope and a reliance upon the unchanging nature of his Creator.
And that Creator is identified as Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 1.
It certainly is. This section of Psalm 102 from verse 25 through 27 is quoted by the author of Hebrews in chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. And the point is that as Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ is divine and our Savior. And even though the original heavens and earth will perish, the Lord's children who are born again by the Spirit through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will continue forever in the presence of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who also is their Creator. So even though we may suffer, we can put our confidence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Peter puts it, "Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right." And that's not what I say, that's what Scripture says.